De'Aaron Fox after practice today.
For that to be, you know, a first official practice, I think it definitely went well.
How different was it from maybe workouts you guys have had collectively as groups or even smaller groups of teammates?
I mean, I think it's so different because, you know, you actually have all the vets here, you know, all the young guys, coaches can actually coach. And then when we got out there and did 5-on-5, we actually have referees out here. So, you know, you can play as much pickup basketball as you want. Nothing ever simulates what a game could be like and then what, you know, a real practice could be like. But like I said, I think for the first one, you know, most of the time, that first practice gets really sloppy, but I don't think we had any of that today, so I think it was a good one.
Have you had a moment yet where you look over it, you see DeRozan, obviously, he's in the Kings uniform, you guys are playing some of the other talent on this team, and go, man, this is, it's kind of real again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one big thing is just adding another guy that's able to get downhill, able to break down the defense, able to get to the free throw line. Like I said, we have real refs out here, so they're calling fouls that you would call in the game. He's getting to the line like he normally does, so just having another guy like that just adds to us, and I think you know, kind of what we were changing defensively, I think the team looked really good as well.
Were those refs allowing the physicality that you guys were able to play with at the end of last season?
Yeah, a bit, but like obviously, you know, hands getting through the lane, you know, they're not calling every single one because we'd be at the line all game. So we definitely let some stuff go, but like I said, he's still able to get downhill. He has the strength, and when the defense is collapsing, he's able to kick it out to guys.
There are many that consider you like the fastest player in the league, and I know pace has been a major emphasis for Monty McNair and for this group getting back to that pace this year. What's the difference, though, between just raw speed and then offensive pace?
I mean, I think it's funny because I always say this, and like I don't just go out there and just start running fast. Playing with pace is playing in different gears, being able to slow down, speed up. Obviously, we want to get the ball up the court fast, but playing fast and just running up and down isn't helping anybody. So playing with pace has meaning to it, and we're not just going out there just to run fast.
DeMar said there was a play where you ran by, and he said it was like a car flying by. Like, what are the keys to you learning to play with him and learning to play with you and adjusting to the pace?
Yeah, I mean, you continue to try to learn each other's spots. And it comes with talking. I mean, we always talk about communication defensively. It goes hand in hand with offense. You've got to be able to talk to each other. Obviously, you know, a lot of our offenses is read and react, but you still have to be able to communicate with your mouth. And that makes
– there it is.
What's the time?
2:38.
Who's the closest?
2:38.
Kyle had 127. I was thinking 350. 2:38.
Taz might get it. 2:12. Oh,
Taz might be the winner.
Oh, what? Yeah. Zay? 247.
Wow.
That Zay gets that one. If we're going off the pocket watching like rules and all that, Zay gets that one, I guess, because it's closer.
That's 238. And it was such a
snuck in there.
It was such a, like, we probably could have let it go.
Yeah.
But now we'll never know what De'Aaron said. Man. 2:38.
Basketball's back, bro. I was a little disappointed that he didn't cuss in the first clip, but now it's like, all right, we're back.
We gotta keep standings. Zay, he's got Zay's one win.
The winner.
He's
yeah.
got one win. This might be a daily game.
Well, if you want to sponsor the De'Aaron,
the DFCL, De'Aaron Fox Cussing League,
the De'Aaron Fox Cussing League, the De'Aaron Fox Dump Button.
Maybe we could work it out. Maybe. The champion of his league is De'Aaron Fox to cuss at them.
Wait a minute.
Happily.
So Manny says, Ben said 2:34. I need to find this.
Yeah, we need a time. We need a receipt.
I didn't see that yet. I don't see it. Maybe it's in the Discord or something.
Yeah, Discord doesn't count.
Nah. Yeah, G-League stats don't count, sorry.
Yeah, Discord doesn't count. Most of y'all had him cussing in the first minute. Matt had him cussing in the first 11 seconds. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Also, don't ever take anything Manny says seriously. He's probably not even being serious.
Oh,
so.
Manny.
I think we got Chatty House.
DFCL is a real league. Stop playing.
You need to do what I do and just ignore Manny. It'll make things a lot easier.
Bro, they threw in the Kings signed Kevin Love earlier, and I had to go check Twitter just to make sure they were messing around.
They did what?
They threw in the Chatty House. A couple people was like, oh, yeah, the Kings just signed De'Aaron Fox or Kevin Love.
Who did blah, blah, blah. That?
It was like three or four people was like, oh, I guess I got to check Twitter just to make sure they're messing around or whatever.
Chatty House.
I'll never forget when D'Lo was jumped for that take.
Yeah, I like Kevin Love.
I had his back.
I don't remember it that way.
I don't remember that either.
No, I don't have no problem.
But I think you're rewriting all sorts of history.
Nah, Kenny walked away. He's like, yeah, get him, get him.
No, I did that for Sabonis.
Kenny went and got scared. No, you weren't here. You weren't here. Well, you filled you in the next day, and I came back. And
yeah, I was like, no, I'm with them. No, with the mob.
You hit him with the.
Oh my God!
But the Kevin Love, I was like, yeah. I don't have any problem with Kevin Love. I think we're both in agreement. We got jumped for Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, we got jumped for Porzingis. Yep.
That reminds me. Well, maybe we'll talk about it in a little bit or whatever. Did you see Zach LaVine?
I did. Yeah, I did see that this morning.
Cool. I thought that
I assume it was prompted by all of the rumors about his future with Chicago.
His future with Chicago. Because it sounded just had a lot to say about him since. I guess he said he hadn't talked to nobody in media wise. February.
Yeah.
So people have had a lot to say about Zach LaVine in that time.
It was interesting. I mean, most of all, I mean, it's always good, you know, to hear, you know, brothers growing or whatever. But I mean, he sounded like he was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Seems like I'm healthy and I'm not taking that for granted. Like that's pretty dope.
It made me think about, and maybe I'm just the easygoing guy in this respect, but. There in sports media, media in general, there's a lot of, and what I feel sometimes too much emphasis on putting somebody down. And people have talked real crazy about Zach LaVine, not just fans, like media members, like just like he's a joke, you know, because of his contract and all this other stuff. And sometimes, like, we're doing a job, it doesn't have to be pretty and nice all the time. Nobody in certain situations, you got to say it out is, and you're not trying to be malicious to the individual. I get that. But I listen, they pretty rude when talking about Zach LaVine. And I thought him addressing it and talking about, you know, hey man, I'm just trying to be positive and have positive energy around me. And cut out all the negative stuff. It humanized him a little bit in that moment, and I don't know, it just made me think, like, I don't know, sometimes we, and I'm not alone, do too much as far as talking crazy about these guys. You know, especially something like Zach LaVine, where Zach LaVine, he ain't do nothing to nobody. He just has had a hard time staying healthy. He's a shooting guard, so his gift is that of a scorer. And that doesn't mean he's a bad teammate. That doesn't mean he's a guy that he's just incapable of learning how to be a good ball player or be on a good team and all this other stuff. And I felt like that's how he was talked about a little bit over the summer, and I didn't think that was fair.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't know why Zach LaVine stands out so much, but like that's the way a lot of people in this industry talk about professional athletes now. Yeah. This is not unique to Zach LaVine. Like I said, whatever prompted that solid 4 minutes, four or five minutes, whatever it was, monologue from Zach LaVine there was good. My biggest takeaway is he's healthy. He's ready to play basketball. That's good news for the Chicago Bulls. It's great news that Lonzo Ball was there, that there's a belief that Lonzo Ball, he believes he's going to be ready to play game one. Like, he's out there. He's working. Like, I thought Lonzo's career was over. When you have an injury that multiple doctors can't diagnose, when you hear the phrase, we haven't seen something like this before, that doesn't give you a lot of confidence moving forward. It certainly didn't give me a ton of confidence moving forward about Lonzo Ball's career. So Lonzo being healthy, that's pretty dope. And if Lonzo and Zach LaVine are healthy, I don't care nothing about the Chicago Bulls, man, but it'll be good to see both of them back on the floor.
Agree, 100%. 100%.
Anything stand out from the 2 minutes and 48 seconds we heard from De'Aaron Fox? Did the dump button build back up? Should we go back to it? Not that he's going to say anything.
Yeah, we are good, actually.
We don't really need to go back to it.
You dump, so we dump.
Time stretches to build back up. So on the radio, it sounds like we're talking a little bit slower than we actually are.
Really? I didn't. Mm-hmm. I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
it's not a big deal on the AM side, mm-hmm. but if you ever have to hit the dump button on the FM side with music playing, it can sound a little strange.
So I'd really mess it up if I was like De'Aaron Fox.
I think it'd be that slow.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't even notice. It'd just be like, how did this idiot get on the radio? Why does he sound like that? Did they just grant somebody's wish? Like, why is he on the radio?
But now, one of the things that stuck out for me hearing De'Aaron talk was how he said, and it's the first day, we don't know if it's going to stay this way, but he's like, man, we just got out there and we was playing. Like, mm-hmm. there wasn't it didn't feel like an adjustment period. Like, we were just out there playing and it felt good.
Yeah,
off each other, and I'd like to hear that.
I don't know if this was the same line or an adjacent line, or if it's the same thing you're talking about. But him talking about, you know, a lot of times that first day in camp is pretty nasty,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that was not the case today. Mm-hmm. It was kind of crisp and solid, and it was just out there playing ball.
Yeah, I love to hear that, and it goes back to what you said when DeMar was talking, man. Maybe they've talked together. Maybe they've worked out together. And, you know, other guys came to USC or whatever. Or a lot of these guys been here for a couple of weeks, and maybe they've been able to simplify it already and say, man, it's just basketball. Let's just go out and hoop.
Shout out to James Hamm.
Yeah, mom already went off, James. But thanks,
James. Well, James just posted his video, and he texted us. I love that you look shocked as if you're not in. Oh, you're not in this text thread.
Yeah,
you aren't.
No, I'm not. Well, I'm not part of the group.
No, you aren't. That's a true story.
literally not.
James is warning us that Fox says a bad word in the middle of the video.
Is that the only one, though?
Well, it sounds like it might be, given the way that he it's not like he said, you know, Fox just cussed up a storm in this video. We'll come back. We'll listen to the rest of De'Aaron Fox following practice today. One thing you and I did not get to talk about yesterday was the Shams bomb that went off on Friday. By the way, we got to talk about this rumor about who Woj's replacement is. I don't even know how this works, but I'm very anxious to find out.
Seems like, yeah.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Well, this from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Raiders star Devontae Adams informed the team that he has preferred to be traded. There is nothing imminent but a situation to watch for sure. Rappaport followed that up with the Raiders are trying to win games, and there are plenty of scenarios where Devontae Adams stays in Las Vegas. But there are also scenarios where he's headed elsewhere, and he'll have a market. That's from Ian Rappaport again. Just checking Mike's feed here. Yeah, nothing really there for that.
Yeah.
They're adamant nothing's imminent, but Devontae Adams has told the Raiders he wants to be moved.
That was we don't know everything that happened. We don't know how it went down. I'm just this really surface, but on the surface, man, AP, I wish you wouldn't have handled that way.
Yeah, AP is going to have to find a balance between being that guy as a player who could, you know, kind of rally his guys with tough tactics, to being a coach, to being the face of your franchise. And Antonio Pierce is the face of the Raiders franchise. Mm-hmm. Devontae's not, because he can't get involved offensively. Maybe Crosby's up there. It sure isn't their quarterback, though. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's there's some things that Antonio Pierce is going to have to learn.
Are we sure this is all IMP, though? Because we've been hearing about Adams since the offseason. He tried telling us the whole "I'm not unhappy" stuff isn't true, blah, blah, blah. Clearly was.
Well, Devontae, like,
Devontae's probably been trying to get out for a while now.
He's an interesting character. At least that's the vibe I got from him after watching a receiver doc.
Mm-hmm.
There's some interesting moments, and it goes back as far as last year. But Devontae also it felt like he was one when AP took over. He was like one of the ones championing the hire and in the environment. You know, he was smoking the cigar in the locker room, like he was having a good time. Felt like they were, in a good place. But here's the thing
tells
with AP.
You how bad Josh McDaniels was.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing with AP though, that the antennas were raised, and I think we talked about it on the show. Might even talked about it on Sports Sunday. After that loss, that was a bad loss. Coming out on the podium and talking about people make some business decisions and we gonna have to make some business decisions. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was the time for that. Not publicly. Mm-hmm. There was something about it. I can't put my finger on it, but there was something about it where I was like, not yet, AP. You don't go there right now.
He pretty much acknowledged that after they beat Cleveland.
He yeah, he kind of said, my bad.
I didn't even see him say that. Yeah.
Yeah, he admitted that was an L and didn't talk further about it. There were some guys who didn't play the first quarter. There were some things that if you were paying attention, you could figure out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he admitted that was a tough look.
It gave vibes of I want winners.
Well, let's not.
That's what it.
At least he
that's
kept
what
his
it remi-
pants on or whatever. Whatever that weird story.
That's today's show title. Well,
thank you, Jesse.
I'm about to, the legend, the Hall of Famer, Mike Singletary, pulls his pants down in during the half to motivate the team.
There's a lot of things that can motivate me. I'm not at all confident that Mike Singletary's techniques would work. But, you know. Everybody's got their own leadership style, I guess.
He sent Vernon Davis to the showers in the middle of the game.
Yep.
And Mike Singletary said, I didn't think he was really going to go. He said, go to the showers. And Vernon walks off the field. Oh, man. It was just a term. Like, take a shower. So, like, sit on the bench. That's all it was. Don't. Really goes to the shower.
My man took a shower. What was wrong? You did what you told me to do.
When AP said that, it was, and I'm rooting for AP. I want him to be successful, but I was like, oh no, this is gonna work. Still plenty of times.
He's a young player. You know, young players have things they have to figure out on the floor. Young coaches have things they got to figure out. At the podium as well. He was a very, I think unconventional is probably the right term. Like it kind of did come out of nowhere. Like it was the perfect thing in the interim basis, but then they put themselves in that really difficult position that they were in, you know, a few years prior with Gruden. When Gruden was outed, they had a coach in place that the players like, and they went with Josh McDaniels instead. Mm. And that created ultimately what was the last year and some change for the Las Vegas Raiders. And I remember at the time thinking, if you think AP is the guy, go for it. You made a mistake the first time, but that mistake is over. You can't rectify that. Mm-hmm. Don't compound that mistake by making another mistake. Mm-hmm. Like, if AP is your guy, go for it. And I feel like Antonio Pierce was their guy. Whether you agree with that or not, that's an entirely different discussion. But I think Antonio Pierce was the guy that they wanted to go with. It wasn't just a player-only thing. Like, it was someone that they bought into. But when you buy into a young coach like Antonio Pierce, you're going to have to take the learning curve that those guys have. And AP's on a learning curve right now.
Yeah.
And whatever happened with Antonio Pierce, that sucks. Or whatever happened with the second time I've done that, with Devontae Adams, that sucks. That's a relationship you can't afford to have fractured. Mm-hmm. And sending him to the Jets for a third round pick really isn't going to help you. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, you know, the compensation is going to be. It's going to be picks of some sort, almost certainly. Yeah. And I hope it's not the Jets.
And I talk about the 49ers trying to get involved in that and all this other stuff. I would be shocked if the 49ers and the Raiders did a deal. I know that was more of a thing when the Raiders were in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now that they're in Vegas, it's not as prevalent. but I would still be shocked if Mark Davis had options to send him elsewhere and chose to do a deal with the 49ers.
If the 49ers are offering the best deal, though, like, you'd have to send him there, no?
It's, but it,
I don't get the reason why you wouldn't now, because I feel like the rivalry is more of a fan thing at this point, if it is anything.
I understand. Mark has lived through it, though. You know what I mean? Mark is, for lack of a better term, he's a child of that rivalry. He knows what it meant to his dad and when they were in the Bay Area and all this other stuff. So he may still hold some resentment. And if to me, I've said this before in different situations. Steelers are a bad example. If the Eagles were offering a player, like a starter at a position, and a third round pick, and the 49ers, or excuse me, a fourth round pick, and the 49ers were offering a starter and a third round pick, I'd go with the Eagles. I'd go, okay. Yeah, maybe it's a little bit lesser of a deal, but I'm not. I'll send him somewhere else. I'm not sending him to the Ops.
But where's the line, though? If that becomes a thing, that's quite like, are we trying to get better? Like, the 49ers winning a championship because Devontae Adams goes there, that doesn't have any bearing on you. No one's looking at you like you're a Super Bowl contender. Sorry, Jesse.
I'll say, if you're the Raiders and you're giving up like a third round pick because someone else giving you a fourth round pick because you don't want to trade with this team or whatever, like, that's why you're bad.
Yeah, it's probably not the move. Like, if you're two competitive teams and something is happening and you have to move off a player like Devontae Adams, then maybe I can get behind that logic a little bit. Or if it's something to where this player could potentially, like, ruin your existence for the next 4 or 5 years, I understand that as well. I don't think Devontae Adams is at that stage in his career. But, like, I don't know what it would be. If the Chiefs gave them an offer, if the Raiders are not competing for a championship, if the Chiefs gave them, we'll call it the Godfather offer, you take it. If you're questioning the 49ers, to me, that's the 49ers got nothing to do with you, no matter what you grew up in. Make a deal that makes your team better. That's all that matters. You've got good players on your team. You're far from a bad team. Find a deal that makes your team better. I just don't think. I ultimately just feel like he's getting traded for a draft pick or maybe two of them. I think that's all we're talking about.
You'll probably go for a fourth, maybe a third at best.
I feel like a third is possible. I feel like even 2/3 could be possible.
Well, the
if someone has the draft capital to do it, like, not if they have two, they won't trade two. But if they have, you know, teams sometimes have 7 third round draft picks, they'll move a couple of them to get Devontae in there.
Yeah, I just. And once again, we'll use the Chiefs as opposed to the 49ers. I'm not saying a drastically different deal, but if all things are relatively equal, if I'm running the Raiders, I'm not sending them to the Chiefs. I'll send them to the Jets.
Yeah, if they're relatively equal, sure.
That's what I'm saying. And that deal that I talked about with Niners, that's a round difference.
Yeah, that's
so. I'm not sending
32 them to players. That's 31 players.
True. Very true. But if it's a round difference between the Jets and the Chiefs, I'm not sending them to the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs is a little different than the 49ers. But if the round is 3 to 4, I don't know that I'd do it. I'd hear Andy, do whatever you want, because I don't think he's playing there next year. And if he does, I'm not contending for a Super Bowl this year or next year. I'm trying to build out this team and contend for a playoff spot, the divisions, be above 500, something. They have to get better at multiple positions. And I don't think that's the Devontae Adams trade is only going to, like, moderately help that. They, you know, accumulating draft picks could be the thing that really helps them. If you draft right, accumulating picks now could go a long way for you.
Yeah.
But Devontae Adams has informed the Las Vegas Raiders that he would like to be traded. Ian Rappaport says there is no deal imminent, but the vibes are bad in Las Vegas with their star wide receiver and their head coach. Obviously, a quarterback throwing for 7 yards isn't really helping Devontae here, or Antonio Pierce for that matter.
If you're the Raiders, trade that guy as soon as you can, too. It's time to get to losing. We got to get that draft pick if you're there.
Yeah, I don't think trading Devontae makes them lose, though.
Yeah, but it makes it a lot easier. Wait, what do you mean? It doesn't make them lose.
I don't... Gardner Minshew isn't good enough to get Devontae Adams the ball to where he has an impact on the team.
Yeah, but it helps. Like, I mean, when you
if
you
they
lose
trade
Devontae,
they're not tanking. Like,
They're not winning, though. Like, we thought maybe they could be like an 8-win team, 9-win team, maybe. Like, they're going to maybe win 4 or 5 games at this point. You have nothing on offense.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that that's true. Well, I think that part's true. They got nothing on offense. Yeah. But they stumbled into a victory there.
I wonder how big of an issue that would be to, at this point, not having Devontae Adams. You know what I mean? Like, does it change your fortunes a little bit? The interesting thing about the Raiders, too, is regardless of what I feel, what anybody feels about what they could be this year, they're 2-2 right now. Mm-hmm. They're 2-2. They're at 500.
Their draft pick is a star.
Yeah.
Like, he could be a legit star.
Yeah.
Who's, I guess, running the ball now.
Man.
Playmaker. We talked about it. Hey, this young man could be a playmaker.
Are we having internal discussions about whether or not we're trying to compete this year?
I don't think you can have those discussions.
In what way? Like, we're competing, right?
Yes.
And so, absolutely. So do you get better? Do you continue to compete if you don't have Devontae Adams?
I don't, man. I feel like it's indifferent at this point. Gardner Minshew isn't good enough for Devontae Adams to have an impact.
So do you feel like you're not competing?
I feel like
if they move on from Devontae Adams?
I do not. I don't feel like they're tanking or not competing if they trade Devontae.
Gotcha. Okay.
If they trade Max Crosby, yes, there has been a discussion about let's put this season to bed. That changes everything for you. I don't think Devontae does. Max Crosby can control his impact on the game to a certain degree. Devontae can only control so much. Trading a wide receiver is not going to tank a football team. It's not, and I'm not trying to call into question how great Devontae is. Like, right, Devontae's tremendous.
Yeah.
But he's not tremendous with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
And so that's a no for me, dog. They're just going to be out there. They're going to look like, if Devontae, hey, you know what, Devontae, we're trying to get a trade, man. Just stay home. If that happens, I think the Raiders look exactly the same on Sunday as they did last Sunday. I don't think they look different.
Yeah, I can't argue that. I can't argue that for sure.
Target Brock Bowers 20 times in a game, see what happens. We've collectively made the decision to go back to De'Aaron Fox. And
I think we're good. I think we're good.
I think we are, too. About 340 left in this one, a little less than that. De'Aaron Fox today at practice.
Now, we've talked about it before. I'm like, our offense may look complicated, but once you like know what's going on, it becomes really easy to understand. And when he started getting how the offense kind of functioned, he was like, wow, like I kind of see why, you know, it moves the way it moves. And I think he fits in perfectly.
Morse said you've got Keon playing alongside you at least early in camp. What does he do to help you sort of on the defensive end and sort of complete your offense there?
I mean, he shoots the ball extremely well. That's one thing that I feel like people don't give him credit for. I mean, he's a 40% three-point shooter shooting like 4 a game. Like, that's obviously, you know, when you're shooting 7-8, you know, you're an elite shooter, but his percentage is elite. And, I mean, what he brings defensively, he's able to pressure the ball. He's able to get deflections if he's not on the ball. He communicates really well. He has great instincts defensively. Like, you don't teach to go under on shooters, but there are times where you have to go under, and he's able to just slide or roll off of a screen and still contest shots, get blocks, get steals. Those are things that you can try to teach someone, but they just might not have the footwork to do those things. And he just came out here, and even his first year, like, you can see that he just knows how to play defense, and he creates that spark for us, especially in the starting lineup right now.
DeMar said Malik was chirping.
Malik's talking. Malik, oh, that's the way that he is, and practice went over a little bit today, so he let the coaches know. he saw the practice sheet and was like, yeah, we were supposed to be done a while ago. But that's Malik being Malik. So we don't want him to change. You need that. I mean, it keeps everybody accountable, but it also keeps practice a little lighthearted.
What do you see from De'Aaron tomorrow?
I mean, he commands so much attention, especially when he has the ball. And even when he does command that attention, he's able to still get to his spot, still put the ball in the basket. And then when 3-4 guys collapse, you get a lot of open shots. Like, I'm just standing there, and I'm like, usually guys don't – I mean, practice is also a little different. Like, you don't go into practice getting denied how you would in games at times. But just the way that he's able to create for Domas, create for Keaton, create for myself, it makes the game a whole lot easier for everybody.
How do you pick his brain right now? He has so much that – there's not a lot of people you pick their brains, but he's somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little different. Like, he's going into year 16. I think Vince was going into year 17 or 18 when I got here, and Z-Bo was going into, like, 15 or 16. But I think the difference is he's still playing at an extremely high level. So just being able to watch what he's doing and how he's doing it. And then obviously asking questions, what he sees here, what he sees there. And obviously we're very different players, but there's little bits and pieces that you can take from somebody like that.
Was it strange to not have HV out there?
Definitely. Definitely not having him. I mean, he's sat next to me in the locker room for 5.5 years, so I also took his locker, though. but no, I mean, it's definitely a little different. But that's the nature of the NBA. You know, we've had a lot of guys traded or out the league that I played with in my career. And I mean, the only difference is we were here for a long time together. But it's great that we, you know, had those experiences and still keep in touch. So it's not like, you know, anyone's, you know, dead and gone. So
it's your loss.
Nature of the league.
De'Aaron Fox right there. A clean final 3.5 minutes from De'Aaron. Your mic is off, buddy.
My bad. Listen to De'Aaron. But I was going to say, just one little
minor. And it was quick.
Yeah, it was quick.
It was quick.
Now, that did break the streak.
I did. Well, it wasn't the longest streak. It wasn't the Undertaker or anything here. He just had a solid.
What was it, zero straight days? Or do we count one?
Well, he made it through one, so he gets the credit. He went one day. So that's it. That'll be the new De'Aaron Fox game. Would you call it the De'Aaron Fox Cussing League?
The DFCL.
That's it. The De'Aaron Fox Cussing League. That's what we got there. We'll monitor that. We didn't get to talk together about what happened Friday night.
Mm-mm.
Carl Anthony Towns headed to the New York Knicks. Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo headed to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Some draft stuff in there, but Kat headed to your New York Knicks.
Go New York, go New York, go. We're closer
to Sacramento or nothing.
Well, if you would not jump to conclusions, mm-hmm. I would say we're closer to that Knicks-Kings finals because Kings going to be there.
Who would you root for?
Kings, what you talking about? Who would I root for? What are we talking about? That's a no-brainer.
I think you'd publicly root for him, but...
Stop it. Stop.
Would you be brokenhearted if the Knicks won a title at the expense of the Kings? Like, would you be like, oh my gosh, like, oh, I'm distraught.
No, absolutely I would.
No, like, would you be like, oh yeah, you know what, I'm happy for you, New York, like, this sucks, I'm sorry for Sacramento, but shout out to the Knicks.
Yeah, as soon as the finals are over, he's like, hey, Jazz said I got to go to New York to see.
I need to know in that moment.
So you think I'm going to go to the parade? You think I'm going to go to what they call it, the tunnel, the canyon of tunnels, canyon of champions? Ain't that what it's called?
I don't know.
That's where all the New York championship teams go. I haven't had one in a while, but the Canyon of Champions or something like that. You think I'm going there?
You know enough to know about it, I guess.
Well, yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know it. Did you? Yeah,
I just know about the duck boats, and that's a Boston thing.
Well, that's
they need to get that out of here.
That's what I'm saying, though. I just know about my team. I don't know what other teams' championship parades are looking like.
Hey, man, I would not – if you guys need to hear me say it
mm-hmm. –
would not participate in any type of celebrating if the Knicks beat the Kings in the finals. I would be brokenhearted. I would be upset. And there would be no parade attending. Stop this nonsense. Stop it.
Okay. Whatever you say, pal. Sure, we're excited on Friday, though. I'll tell you.
I'm a Knicks supporter. I think they're. I think I'll say it, Jesse. Don't Don't throw anything. I mean,
you go ahead.
They might be the favorites to win the whole thing. They might be the favorites. They added Carl and Cat. I know people have their questions about Cat, but Cat is coming into this situation to be second or third option.
Is that good for him?
It's great for him.
Cat,
no, I mean, does he understand that?
Yeah,
you think so?
He understood it in Minnesota.
The
problem in Minnesota is Rudy Gobert. That's the problem. It's not Karl Anthony Towns. They were in a situation where they can't move Rudy Gobert. Nobody wants that contract. Nobody even wants to trade. Rudy Gobert is the problem. That's the issue. It wasn't Cat not knowing his role or nothing like that. Not saying that's what you said, but not knowing his role or nothing like that. Cat wasn't the problem. They just could not keep going with Cat and Rudy. And you can't trade Rudy, so you get something for Cat while you can.
Huh. Okay.
And the money situation was a situation too. I really hate the CBA now. Because I saw another report that one of the determining factors with the Timberwolves were, like, man, we can't pay Rudy, Naz Reid, Cat, Conley, and Anthony Edwards is about to, like, we just can't do it.
Well, that's their fault. They could have let Naz Reid sign with Sacramento like everybody wanted.
That's a good point.
That's their fault. They didn't have to sign Naz Reid. They made the deal to go get Rudy Gobert. They did that.
That is a good point. I'm asking this. I guess I feel differently about Cat than some people do. But if I'm Parag Marate in that Minnesota Timberwolves organization, which is a whole nother story, who's running anything there? What's really going on? That plays a role as well. But I'm looking down the road, like, yeah, we can get Naz Reid, but that means we might not be able to keep Cat. Like, yeah, I'm keeping Cat 10 times out of 10 over Naz Reid. Naz Reid, a good ball player. Karl Anthony Towns is one of the best big men in the game.
Yeah. So maybe he wasn't the right fit.
I say that to say I'm not signing Naz Reid last offseason.
So that's fine. Go ahead.
We're sure about Cat, too. Like, he's not like this playoff performer or anything like that. And I feel like just kind of like he's going to be able to handle New York and all that pressure that comes with it. Because, like, you're coming to New York as a second, third option, sure. But, like, you're coming to New York as a guy who's supposed to take him over the top for a title, too.
I think Cat has had some rough moments in the postseason.
Cat's never really been that dude, honestly. Like, he's got talent, but as far as, like, just that guy, he's never been that.
He's had some rough moments. You can't deny that. He absolutely has.
I think Cat is extremely talented, but he's not a needle mover to me when it comes to winning a championship. I think him being on the Knicks is great for him because it's Brunson. Hell, it's even Mikal Bridges to a certain degree. It's OG. Like, there's a lot there, and there's a lot that they're all going to have to collectively figure out. Like, that like putting them as the favorites, that's tough for me. That group is no different than the Philadelphia 76ers. They got a lot to figure out. If they could figure it out, and they figure it out relatively quickly, it might be one of the most dangerous teams in the league.
It's one of those things, though, where, like, we'll take Boston, for instance. If you had Kristaps Porzingis as the franchise, that team ain't going nowhere. Like, that's awful. Like, you're setting yourself up for disaster. That's how people look at Cat. But if you got Kristaps Porzingis as your third, maybe fourth best player on any given night, oh, we're cooking now. That's what happened in Boston.
I'm not sure that Karl Anthony Towns has that mentality.
And wasn't Cat the second or third? Well, the second guy, I guess, with Minnesota?
He was definitely the second guy. I think it took some time for him to understand that and figure it out because Anthony Edwards just kind of snatched the reins from him the second he entered the league. My concerns, like, about the Minnesota Timberwolves, me not really calling them title contenders, didn't center on Rudy Gobert. It centered on Karl Anthony Towns.
Rudy's the problem. I've said it for years, he gets played off the court.
Okay, and I don't think Karl Anthony Towns is a winner. So
he don't get played off the court. Like
he's not a winner. Like, it's fine, but
you're relying on a guy.
He got cussed out by his coach publicly the night he scored 52 because he was selfish.
That's not okay. But you're relying on a guy.
That's him. That's my problem.
I'm just saying you're relying on a guy, Rudy Gobert, where people just routinely.
But they're not. They're relying on Anthony Edwards.
Now you're relying on Rudy.
I don't know that you are.
And you're looking at it like there's multiple coaches and multiple teams that said, we can't play this guy.
I think you might be relying on Anthony Edwards and Naz Reid more than you're relying on. Or hell, like we're acting like Julius Randle's not there.
Multiple countries now have said you can't play this guy.
I'm not capping for Rudy Gobert. I'm saying he's insignificant. They had to move Karl Anthony Towns. They weren't going to win with him. He's not the problem. He's insignificant.
And that okay.
The contract is the problem.
And that's where we disagree. Rudy is the problem. You can't.
Rudy's not the problem. Rudy's contract is the problem. It's not the same thing. He's insignificant to me whether the Minnesota Timberwolves win or not.
Mm.
His contract, you're stuck with him, and there's nothing you could do. If you have to play him off the court, you play him off the floor. It's not even a bit, whatever. Take him off. It's fine.
Mm.
You're just stuck with that contract, which you did. You could bitch and complain about the CBA all you want to. You did that.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fault. We'll come back. News from Adam Schefter. Raiders have informed other teams they would consider trading wide receiver Devontae Adams for a package that includes a second round pick and additional compensation. That's from Adam Schefter. We'll talk more. Devontae Adams requests a trade from the Las Vegas Raiders here on ESPN 1320. Let's get TC in here, 916-909-1320. TC, what's happening, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, TC?
Oh, man, just vibing, tapping in, man. I got a little bit about Kings and Niners. I'm going to jump Kings first, man. I love it, man. The togetherness, the brotherhood that these dudes already got, man, in a short amount of time. D-Lo, KC, Jesse. Bro, this is going to be a special year, bro. This is going to be like being team number one. Remember that special when we broke it? I keep saying it every time I call y'all. It's going to be special like that, dog, but like times 10.
Times 10.
My opinion, it's going to be like a movie this year, bro. As far as the Niners, check it out. Brock is Brock. Let Brock be Brock, period. If it comes down to it, the team is going to keep Brock over Shanahan, period, point blank. You got to let Brock do his thing. He owning up. He said, you know what? I got greedy on that interception when I tried to do it. That was on me. He's holding himself accountable, bro, even when it's not him. You get me? Let Brock do what he do, man. That's the only way we going to win, dog.
If it comes down to it, yeah, Shanahan or Brock Purdy.
Who is not letting Brock be Brock? Then who said it was Kyle or Brock?
I don't think we're talking enough about it, guys.
I don't even know what to do. Like
TC thinks Kyle Shanahan's out there like Sean McVay with Jared Goff, telling him where to throw, I guess.
The guy like leads the league in passing yards right now.
12th most attempts.
This is my favorite thing ever on the show, I think.
It's pretty amazing.
How did Kyle catch a stray for no reason?
Uh-oh. Just so you know, Kyle, if we got to pick between them, we're picking Brock.
That's hilarious. It's so funny. And who makes that call?
Yeah, Jed.
Because it's not John.
The powers that be.
I guess it's Jed.
Yeah, because John's gone too. All right, TC. Thank you, brother.
Kyle Shanahan is ever not the 49ers head coach. I want TC to be the one to fire him.
TC might get an hour when that day happens.
He gonna start, Jesse, let me cook. Let me go, Jesse. Jesse in the back, yes indeed. Okay, well that was RKO out of nowhere. You know what you didn't address? Because I want to get to Mike Brown. The Raiders, Devontae Adams, all of that stuff's going on. What do you? We got a far too long statement from Farhan yesterday.
Mm.
What about the new guy in charge?
Oh man, you know he's Teflon for me. You know what I'm saying? That's 28. You know we talking about 28, talking about Buster Posey. He's gonna get every opportunity he can, and even if he doesn't do a good job, you ain't gonna hear me say nothing crazy about Buster Posey. Nah, it's not going to happen. I may have to tell it like it is. But it, Buster Posey, worst case scenario is like Vlade Divac.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's not good.
But, okay.
Pretty bad.
But what I'm saying about that, did you ever hear me say a crossword about Vlade?
Not you, but the entire city hated him for a couple years.
They're wrong. They need to let that go. And what do I always say? I say, let that go. Give that man a standing ovation when he comes through. And that's how I feel about Buster Posey.
I don't think hiring team legends is a good idea, like back to your front office. I don't think it ever really works out. Elway didn't work out. Vlade didn't work out. And it's different sports and all that. But
you mean just like your own?
Yeah, your own guy. Because I feel like that's just, if it goes wrong, then it'll go wrong. Like they turned on Vlade for a bit.
Yeah.
Some still do, I think.
Well, like I said, they need to stop that. We've moved on. We're successful now. There's no reason to boo Vlade. He walks through those doors, get a standing go. If the Giants continue on their trash trajectory, with Buster Posey there, and they get somebody else in, and then they make it to the playoffs. Buster Posey sitting right there next to Larry Bear. He stands up. He gets a standing ovation.
What does that have to do with whether he could do a good job at this or not?
I mean, who knows?
Yeah, we don't even know.
He's never done it.
Why did he?
Was it because of whose
deal did he just? Wasn't he a big part of some deal they just signed?
Yeah, Chapman's deal. But he's been part of the organization. Like, he came back a year ago, I think, I forgot his exact role, but he was in the organization. Like, he was maybe a consultant.
Vibe creator. He had the Alvin Gentry role.
Yeah, something like that. And that was fine. Like, it's whatever. But in this situation, you know, maybe they saw something in that year and a half or whatever, where they're like, hey, I think you'd be good at this. He was living in the South. I think he was living in Georgia when he retired, and he moved back. And I don't know if this was always in the making, but I don't think he moved back to be a consultant. You can consult with me over the phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to be in the office every day to consult. Mm-hmm. I think when he came back, there were bigger plans involved at some point, whether that was Farhan's job or working with Farhan or something like that. I think they've been looking to ease him into this type of role for a while. And who knows if he's good at it or not. I have no idea.
Okay. Schefter reports that the Raiders are looking for a second-round pick and additional compensation should they choose to entertain the idea of trading Devontae Adams. Too high? I think we had it topped off at three.
Yeah.
Two is realistic. You get 2 years. You get you get the rest of this year, and you get next year.
Devontae Adams is 32 in December, too.
So you get a 32 and a 33-year-old Devontae Adams.
And it depends on what you're talking about. Like, if I'm Minnesota, I might do that. Addison, you put Addison in the slot. You put Adams outside with Justin Jefferson, and now we got a shot to win the championship. You might have a shot already.
If you're Minnesota, I feel like you stay away from that.
Yeah.
What you got is working right now. Devontae Adams, I think, is like, for a team like the Jets, like someone who like actually needs a wide receiver one. Garrett Wilson's great, but that's just not working at this point. I don't think they're going to get much for him.
I'm curious what the additional compensation is. Wind up being like a sixth-round pick or a fifth-round pick or something like that a year away.
Yeah, I'm always bad with like how these people look at NFL trades, whatever the case may be, with the value. Like, because I look at Devontae Adams.
Yeah, value in the trade doesn't normally match in the NFL.
Yeah, I feel like he can, in the right situation, he can swing, you know, your chances of winning a Super Bowl. But, like, yeah, he can change somebody's life, and it's only worth a fifth-round pick or something. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I see it differently than some of these GMs.
Was Tyreek traded?
Yes.
Do you remember?
Absolutely. It was like a second round. It was a bunch of picks like 1 year and a couple of the next. It was like a second, fifth, like a handful of picks or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I just feel like that's how the NFL works. Mm-hmm.